2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul is talking about suffering for Christ. And in verses 11 to 13, he writes, "If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." Notice that last phrase. He remains faithful. He cannot die himself. Human belief does not nullify God's faithfulness. God can't deny himself. He cannot deny who he is. And that's because his character is unchanging. That is, or should be, very comforting thought. So much has changed in the last few months, but God has not changed. God will not change. God cannot change. So these are challenging times for us. I pray that you're doing well, those that are listening, keeping the faith, keeping health physically, emotionally. These are hard times, and of course financially for others it's hard times. That's the strangest of times, and yet the Lord doesn't change, and that's a good thing to know. I'm recording this on July 1st. The last time we were together as a church was on March 8th, nearly 4 months ago. By the time you hear this, it'll probably be 4 months ago. Something we never ever could have thought about, and yet here it's happening. So welcome. I start with the scripture because I always start nervous, so I start by reading the scripture to help me out here. Our previous lesson in the series was parts 3 and 4. This is part 5, and it's actually going to be in two parts. And parts 3 and 4 were the words you've heard a lot, and I'm going to repeat them one more time here, that God is incomprehensible, yet he's knowable. He's incomprehensible because no one can comprehend him fully. Someone thinks they understand God. That's, of course, absurd. One would have to be God to understand God. Incomprehensible. But he's also knowable because he's revealed things about himself. You don't just guess. People guess, of course, but for believers who have the Word and have the Holy Spirit, we don't guess about God because he's knowable. When we discussed all of God's attributes, when we discussed the fact of God being incomprehensible, we said that his attributes are incomprehensible as well. So today, this lesson and the following one, we'll be talking about God's attributes. Before I start, I mentioned before the handout. I'm not sure what we see here. You can't see that. But I've provided handout material for the different lessons. You receive an email, and this is attached. The other thing about the handouts, which is really kind of cool, is these teachings, what George is doing, what Derry's doing, what I'm doing, I think we may have some others, along with the sermons, the Sunday sermons, those teachings are posted on the church website, BlossomValleyBibleChurch.com, all together, run it together, BlossomValleyBibleChurch.com, on the website. And you can find these under the teaching section there. But I'm mentioning the handouts because the handouts, which are on the email, they are on the website. You can download them. Or it's called PDF download when you see the name of the subject, and then PDF download. So one can get the paper in addition to hearing the voice. I'm saying that because they go together. And I'm also saying that because I think, trying to do my best here, obviously, but it's challenging talking, run too long, things like that. The handouts are, I'm proud of them. That's right. I don't want to say proud, but, you know, I like the handouts. They summarize a lot of material. I think they're really helpful. Okay? So, anyway, enough of the commercial for the handouts. Probably talked too long already. In the passage I read from 2 Timothy, we noted that God is faithful and that he doesn't change. And of course, not changing, that the big word is immutable. God is immutable. Those are two of God's attributes. The first thing we want to know about God's attributes is that they are not the same as words we use for people and so forth. Words like a characteristic or quality or trait we use all the time. An attribute, as used by theologians, as we're going to use it here, is something very different. Those words aren't constant. A characteristic of a person. People change. We change all the time. We cannot help but change. We grow, we age, we learn, we forget, we sin, we repent, our attitudes change, our beliefs change. I mean, we just change all the time. We can't help it. And in addition to that, our characteristics contradict each other. I mean, I'm a really nice, patient guy. But then you ask my wife, and I'm not always patient. So am I patient or not? Well, yes and no. I can be generous. I tend to be generous, but I can be selfish. God's attributes, the divine attributes, are not like that. They don't change. God doesn't learn. God doesn't get tired. They don't contradict each other. The hard ones that are hard to us understand, like love and wrath, no contradiction when properly understood, but they don't contradict each other and they don't change. So when we say that God has been faithful and he also doesn't change, we can say he will always be faithful, because that's a wonderful thing, and so with all the other attributes. Here's a simple definition for attribute. Now, there's different ways of defining it. It's a word. It's not a Bible word. It was made up by theologians. It's a good, useful word. A.W. Tozer, in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy, writes, a divine attribute is something true about God, whatever God has in any way revealed as being true of himself. Simple definition, but a good, useful one. That book, A.W. Tozer, The Knowledge of the Holy, he wrote it in 61. I think he passed away in 1968 or so. A thin little book, just about my favorite Christian book. Really excellent. Really excellent. I've used other books, of course, but that one is one if you want to start. It's thin. That's the good news. It's pretty heavy. One of God's attributes is that he's omniscient. Again, another word that's not in the Bible, but the word omniscience, the knowledge of all things, is in there. I'm going to read a few verses from Psalm 139. If you're thinking right, you remember, hey, George Garcia just preached on that, and you have certainly have an idea. I remember that psalm, what it says. But I want you to know something, and I'm talking about omniscience, because in here there's a lot of David writing, saying he knows what he knows, what God knows. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. That's the first six verses of Psalm 139. David is describing the Lord's knowledge. He doesn't say the Lord knows everything about mathematics or everything about science or philosophy. We tend to think those ways. God knows, you know, all the science stuff, okay, better than we do. Those are true statements, but that isn't what David's saying. David is writing of a personal knowledge. There's an intimacy. The Lord knows everything about David. I mean, everything. And that's the whole psalm, not just the first six verses. The Lord knows David better than David knows himself, okay? Notice David's response that the Lord knows him so well. Again, better than he even knows himself. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. He has a sense of awe and worship. And again, this is for the entire psalm. It's true. And we should also, we contemplate God's knowledge and God's knowledge of us. So, yes, he knows all the science, and yet he knows all of us, and he's a personal God. Wants to relate personally. One more thing about this. Notice that verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. David knows a lot about God, about God's knowledge. He's writing about God's knowledge. You know this, this, and this. God is knowable. Okay, and he's saying the things that God knows. But David's knowledge about God is limited. It's too wonderful. It's too high. I can't attain it. God is incomprehensible. You see those two thoughts we've said before. You may have think I spent too much time on them. And if so, I apologize. But I hope that they sink in, those ideas. And you can even see them in the first six verses there. It's too high. I don't get it. And yet what I do learn, and I know so much, I do understand it. One more thing of Psalm 139, that God is omniscient. He knows all things. We said that. And the question, the obvious question, I'm used to doing this in a group and question answer makes sense, but the question, are people all-knowing? God is all-knowing. Are people all-knowing? The answer is, of course not. But I'll come back to that in a minute, so just keep that in mind. Let's take a look at Psalm 100. That's a great psalm of praise and thanksgiving. It's five verses. I want, you know, something else, again, with our subject of God's attributes. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. That last verse I read, verse 5 of Psalm 100, gives us three of God's attributes in that one verse. He is good. It mentions his love. It mentions he is faithful. I mean, God keeps his promises. And you recall our definition that a divine attribute is something true about God. Here's three attributes, three things that are true about God, being good, a loving God, and a faithful God. So the question I have for you out there, how are those three attributes in Psalm 100 different than the attribute we discussed in Psalm 139? Now, the answer is not, Psalm 139 said he's omniscient, and that's a big word, and these are small words. No, that's not the point. But these attributes of good and love and faithful versus the other one of all-knowing. The answer is, people are, or at least they can be, they have the potential to be good, loving, and faithful. Those three things that God is, people can be good, loving, and faithful. Now, clearly, there's a limit to our goodness and love and faithfulness. Okay, it's not the same as God's, but in a small way, because we've been made in the image of God, us people can be like that. But the other attribute that we mentioned in Psalm 139, that God was all-knowing. People can't be all-knowing. Only God is all-knowing. God's attributes can be classified according to this difference. Now, I'll get to some weaknesses in this idea of classifying attributes because God is so tremendous. I'll get to that in a moment. But for the time being, God's attributes, one way of classifying is that they can be described as incommunicable or communicable. See, if you had the notes, it'd be simple. You're listening to me say that. What did he just say? Communicable, thinking about communicating, thinking about a disease that's communicable. We know that right now. Communicable attributes are shared by people. People have been made or created in the image of God. So words like God and love and faithful, merciful, wise, people can have godly wisdom. Not the same as the wisdom of God, which is infinite, but they can have godly wisdom. So those are communicable attributes. Incommunicable attributes, meaning not communicable, they cannot be communicated to people. We are not like God. Only God is omniscient. Only God is eternal. Only God is self-existent. Only God is infinite, and so forth. This is a common way of classifying the attributes, but it's not the only way. Keep in mind, this is theologians doing this. The scripture doesn't give us lists and things that here's communicable and incommunicable. It doesn't do that. So we're trying to understand the scripture in order to know God better, but this is a good tool that can help us in our thinking. But we always have to keep in mind that God being infinite doesn't fit our categories. Studying the attributes can help us understand him, but it doesn't mean we can fully. I think you'd know that, but said it one more time. Good reminder is the verse in Isaiah 55:8-9 is always a good reminder where God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Thank you, God. Thank you for your words. Words that are, we can barely grasp the written words, and yet they describe a God who we just cannot fully grasp at all, and we can't get close. And yet, God, we come to know you, we trust you, we love you. We love learning more about you, not for information, not to fill our heads with knowledge, but to know you experientially. We look forward to the day that we'll see you face to face. We look with anticipation, but in the meantime, knowing you in this life, knowing you in this strange and confusing world, having forgiveness, having the peace of God, having someone to come to when we don't feel the peace, when we don't feel well at all, when we're sick, when we're ill, when we're hurting, when we have needs, all those things, knowing that you're there and you care. We thank you, we give you praise. Amen.